All right, ready?
Yes.
All right, well, welcome back to the podcast. We had a one-week hiatus with Joe had a took a bit of a vacation, I think.
We had 2 weeks, right? We didn't do it the week before because your car broke down and I didn't get you the copy. But we had Chris and we had Dukes, Michael Adams in it and everything. And
so two-week hiatus. 1 week I'll take the blame. I had a flat tire.
And I'll take the blame because all my friends want to get married in September and all my friends live in Ohio.
Well, it happens. What can you do about that?
Well, pretty good start to the season. I mean, some. I think the biggest surprise through first 2 weeks for me was Bowie beating Westwood. That was the biggest surprise in the first 2 weeks. Bowie beat Pflugerville the week before, but I didn't know. But really, if you look at that, Pflugerville gained about the same amount of yardage as Bowie did, and it was more of a turnover thing. Bowie has two wins, and it's been mostly because they've been able to force turnovers and take advantage on special teams. But I mean, how many times does a team lose a football game when the quarterback throws for 520 yards?
Yeah, and I mean, Bear Fenimore's got to be, what, at 1,200 yards already this year?
He's 797. So I think he didn't quite go for 300 in week one. Yeah, he didn't, because
that might be more combined yards than the five Leander School District quarterbacks combined so far.
He leads the area in passing yards right now. I mean, if you think in two games, I mean, he's like less than 1,000 yards away from totaling his complete yardage from last year, which he missed a bunch of games. Yeah. He would have gone over 4,000 yards. Not 4,000. He would have gone over 2,000 yards passing if he had stayed healthy. Same with Michael McCann, who's also had a pretty good first 2 weeks. But I think Bear has definitely kind of risen to the top as far as passing numbers are concerned. And I guess we'll see. I mean,
he looked pretty good. I watched the game last Thursday, actually, when they played Bowie. They had it on, what's the channel that they show Thursday night games on? I can't remember, but I was flipping through channels, and I saw high school football on, and so watched about 15 minutes of that game, actually, and you can tell he looks like...
He's going to... By the end of the year, I think everybody will be like, yeah, that kid's going to Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, he already looks pretty good, and you could see it in 7-on-7 that he was going to be pretty good this season. I mean, he just had a good rapport with his... with his receivers, and it's only going to be better. I always want to pump the brakes on putting superlatives and hyperbole on players after the first 2 weeks. I mean, obviously it's a little different when a guy like Samaje Perine, because you know what he did last year, but there's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. And yeah, Bear was one of the better ones last year, but I talked to Coach Wood, Anthony Wood at Westwood this week. I was like, you know, is this something that you could have seen Bear do if he was healthy all last year? And you know, his response was, you know, they've surprisingly probably got more, probably a better core of receivers this year as far as just distribution-wise. I mean, they had really good receivers last year, but this year they have more options, and that's really helping Bear. But he was admitted, it's like, you know, Bear's doing what they thought he would do.
And how many pass attempts did he have last week?
It was up there. I mean, he's got, like, I think it's 97 in two games. So
how? I mean, I know they don't keep track of these things, but how odd would it be if Joe Harrington would end up covering the two highest ranked passing attempt games in Texas high school history?
Yeah, my Kerrville Daily Times days, old Johnny Football is like 70 something times. I think it was 72. that was three or four years ago. But yeah, I didn't even think about that. Don't bring me up. That, you know, we actually did make deadline that night, despite all the passing that was going on. Maybe we were 15 minutes late at the most. But yeah, we definitely made deadline that night. My old talk for Tom Holden. I remember him scrambling to get photos to him on deadline. I know for a fact our designer Ken Felder definitely knows what time the paper was sent.
And in Fenimore this week, we had the kind of the unique homecoming storyline that you don't normally see in high school, where he's played a school that he started at, correct?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Wood about that too, and it's like, you know, at this point, you know, Bear was there as a freshman. He's been away, he's been Westwood for 3 years, so he's completely a Westwood kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said maybe that first year there was some, yeah, got to be Lake Travis type feel, and that's when Ben Johnson was the quarterback there. And Bear did play as a sophomore, but, you know, when you got Ben Johnson there, you know, he's going to take most of the snaps. But I think at this point it's just another big game against Lake Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what Westwood does. I mean, their non-conference schedule is extremely tough. I mean, they probably play the top two most successful Austin ISD football teams, Bowie and Austin High. Definitely the biggest ones. Although Aikens might be up there, but two of the bigger schools, two of the schools that have been fairly competitive, especially Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they play Lake Travis and Cedar Park. So I don't think it's necessarily, oh, Bear's going to win because it's his old school. I think Bear wants to win because it's Lake Travis. You know, it's why everybody wants to beat Lake Travis, which, you know, I think this year, more so than the past years, I mean, there's a legit chance that maybe Lake Travis is a little bit vulnerable this year. I mean, they lost at home to a good Converse team. They beat New Braunfels Canyon, shut them out. Well, I mean, it was 20-6, but they didn't allow a touchdown last week. But still, Lake Travis isn't beating teams, you know, like 56-0.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not blowing teams out like they did in their 5-year winning streak. But so I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I mean, I think maybe fans in Central Texas will look at that and say, well, Lake Travis should win. But really, I think this is a lot more even than what we've probably seen in the past and what people are thinking now. I mean, I think that Westwood still scored almost 30 points last week. They still had a quarterback throw for more than 500 yards. And if you take away some stupid turnovers and some special teams mistakes, that's a lot closer game than what it turned out to be between Westwood and Bowie. So I think that that's more of a wide-open game. I could be completely wrong either way. I mean, Lake Travis could come out and drop a big one on Westwood, or Westwood could come out and just throw for another 500-yard games. And I imagine the chances are, if their quarterback throws for 500 yards, he's probably going to win one of those games. I mean,
I think that'd be kind of an anomaly for 500 yards back-to-back weeks.
My guess is that the statistics say that if a quarterback throws for more than 500 yards in a game, he's going to at least win 50% of those games.
I think that's fair.
But, you know, in Westwood, it's not just Fenimore. I mean, they got a handful of guys in double-digit catches. They got another couple guys that are right there behind them with eight. So, I mean, you almost got, like, I think it's like seven guys with nearly double-digit or double-digit catches there. So, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah.
And Josh Bishop for Westwood's really one of the guys on the rise on that offense. I mean, he's catching everything.
Yeah, you talked about your biggest surprise of the week. I think there hasn't been, for the five teams I cover, there hasn't been a surprise in a win-loss result. But the biggest surprise for me was that score of the Leander Hendrickson game last week.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise Hendrickson won. That wasn't a surprise. But the fact is, where I'm out in Abilene, Cooper made the drive out to Abilene, and I'm seeing score updates on Twitter and text messages that it's 38-0 in the first quarter. And
yeah, I would say that I think the most surprising game result was Bowie beating Westwood.
Yeah, most surprising win-loss result.
But as far as the most surprising score, I think I've seen in probably 4 or 5 years covering
mm-hmm.
Texas high school football, that was it. I mean, I'm not going to say, I figured that game would be close. I figured it would be a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Hendrickson probably had the edge because they were at home. But then I see that score, and I see the yardage that, I mean, it's like Hendrickson's defense had a shutout the week before against a good offense in Rouse that scored, what, 50-plus points
against Cedar Ridge this week.
So I think what it is the we got cement proof that Hendrickson's defense is really good this year.
Yeah, and not only, like, I remember looking through it, they not only... Leander finished with -8 total yards.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen that with in a for a good, supposedly pretty good Leander team that put up 41 points against Connolly 1 week earlier to finish with -8 total yards.
Never seen a program that is as tradition rich and has such a successful pedigree be held negative yards. That's not saying Leander's bad. Mm-hmm. That's saying Hendrickson's really good. Yeah. When that happens to a team that was coming off a big win like Leander was against Connolly the week before, that shows that Hendrickson's just really good this year.
Hendrickson's really good. I mean, the team, for instance, as we said, they shut out Rouse. Rouse went and scored 55 the next week. They shut out Leander, team that scored 41 the next week. And one of our few crossover games this week, they face another Leander School District team this week, and they go out to Vandegrift on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a match of two undefeated teams, but I can't think of a situation where you're saying, yeah, they're undefeated. But I mean, that's one of these games.
Exactly,
I mean, Vandegrift's undefeated, and they're on pace to have a really good year, mm-hmm. but they have not faced Rouse and Leander so far this season.
Yeah.
Like Hendrickson has.
And you look at Vandegrift. You look at Vandegrift's schedule. They beat up McNeil 31-0. Mm-hmm. This past week, they went out to Killeen and beat the Kangaroos 36-29. Game that was really 30-29. They had returned a pick six at the end at the buzzer, but mm-hmm. they stopped a two-point conversion. So, two-point conversion with 2 minutes left in the game when Killeen went for the win. So, Vandegrift team that is having a very good year for Vandegrift standards. Very, mm-hmm. very good year. A team that has won 3 straight dating back to last year. Has got a bit of a chip on their shoulder. But they haven't faced a team like Hendrickson yet.
They're undefeated, but they have not faced two teams as good as Rouse and Leander.
Correct.
And they certainly haven't shut out two teams as good as those teams. So, you know, but they kind of, you don't really know. I mean, Hendrickson could come out and struggle on the road against Vandegrift, and Vandegrift could really shock the whole state of Texas if they beat Hendrickson. Mm-hmm. But I think Hendrickson right now has probably the two prettiest looking wins of the season so far.
I'd agree with that. I would say it's hard,
especially
to
after what Rouse did to Cedar Ridge the mm-hmm. next week. I mean, to score 50 plus points coming off of a shutout is pretty impressive.
If you even look, because you take a look at more of the numbers from that Rouse Cedar Ridge game, and I believe Rouse's leading ball carrier against Hendrickson was McCrary with 76 yards on 24 touches, I believe.
Yeah, it was less than 4 yards per carry.
The next week against Cedar Ridge, Rouse had the third player finished with 97, but mm-hmm. McCrary finished with 112 on 18 carries. A.J. Bedore finished with 135 on 17 carries, mm-hmm. and then Andre Alger finished with 14 carries for 97 yards.
Yeah.
So you take a look at the next week where Rouse goes from running for maybe 112, 115 yards total
against
Hendrickson.
Less than 4 yards per carry per
to,
rush.
To 418 yards on the ground against Cedar Ridge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big testament to Hendrickson's defensive line, I think. Because everyone talks about, when you look at their defense, the first thing you do when you read through your Dave Campbell's, you look at the mm-hmm. roster, you say, oh, there's a defensive back going to Nebraska. There's one going up to Colorado. You don't. Their defensive line kind of flies under the radar, or used to. It used to.
Well, what happens is you go to a Hendrickson practice, and you kind of look at the defensive backs because you know they're pretty good, but the only thing you can't stop looking at is just how big a guy like Trey Thomas is on the defensive line, and how big some of those linemen are, and you're like, wow, if those guys can eat up offensive linemen and let the linebackers flow and blitz, the DBs are going to have a field day. I mean, it's easy to see why Hendrickson's got a really good defense. And mm-hmm. if you think about it, one of the other former reporters in ACN, who is now one of the editors here, he calls me and he said, or he, you know, sent me an email. And he's like, man, they're a team that nobody would want to play right now in Hendrickson. Mm-hmm. I mean, with that defense, you know they're going to run the ball. And the quarterback hasn't even really, quarterback Xavier Connolly hasn't really even jumped on the scene yet. And I think that's something that's going to happen eventually. Xavier Connolly, whether it's on the ground or in the air, is going to have a big game. And mm-hmm. he hasn't really had to. I mean, they shut out Rouse the week before. They were up like 38-0 in the first quarter. I mean, Chip Killian's not dumb. I mean, he's going to reel back what his team's going to do when you're up a big lead. Plus, they're not going to overlook the next two opponents, but they know whatever they can save for their first district game in a couple weeks, they're going to. Because they've got Cedar Ridge, I believe, in that first district game, which that's going to be a shootout unless Cedar Ridge can score on the Hendrickson defense, which, you know, if there's an offense that's going to test Hendrickson, it's going to be Cedar Ridge because they are going to push the pace. So we'll just have to see. But, yeah, that was definitely the Hendrickson-Leander game was like, wow.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those scores where I saw the score up and I had to text someone who was a parent I know who was at the game to confirm that it was actually the correct score.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to this week.
Yeah, this week.
This week we've got a lot of good games going on, and we'll start by the time this gets uploaded, two of my games will already be done. Round Rock, Bowie, McNeil, and Del Valle. So if you want to read about those games, go on, probably press back on your webpage, and hopefully it's one of the top stories on the website.
Hopefully.
Those are two really good games. Round Rock and Bowie is on a Thursday game, but I think it was on Friday. It'd definitely be the game with the most attention. I mean, mainly because Bowie's undefeated, and I think everybody in this area is kind of waiting for an Austin ISD team to kind of maybe emerge as as one of the top teams in the area. They'll definitely be tested against Round Rock.
We'll just have to see. Round Rock, a team that last week had a really Round Rock team that last week was biggest comeback in 100-year history of Dragon football, so that's always something to build on.
I think a thing with Round Rock, when I looked at this game, again, you know, I could be completely wrong because that game's already played. So you could be like, well, he got that wrong. What's he saying? He should read the storyline. But I feel like Round Rock has a decent enough passing game and a decent enough running game. And so far, Bowie played a team that likes to pass and did not stop the passing yards with Bears' big game. And they played a team in Pflugerville that ran the ball. And, you know, they did give up like 200-plus yards on the ground. So Round Rock does both of those fairly well. How are they going to stop them? And then for Round Rock's defense, you know, there are so many new players on the linebacking core. They're giving up huge amounts of points the first 2 weeks. Can they, you know, stop them to get the lead? So we'll see. I would say the over under in that game's got to be 100. I mean, it's like both teams have scored over 40 points the first two games. I would say would not be surprised if that score is a 50-point score. But you can go read it online. Just stop the podcast right here, whatever minute it is. We're probably a good 10, 15 minutes into this podcast.
Yeah.
Just press pause.
Yeah.
You can go read those stories.
Team that Round Rock beat last week, Harker Heights, returns back to the Central Texas area again to play Cedar Park, a team that is rebounding from its first loss in 15 games. Cedar Park, a team that apparently, a game that, as Joe will attest to, I predicted they would lose to Cooper before the season started. Before the season started, everyone in our ACN newspaper group said, when I said Cedar Park would go 1-1 in the first two games, everyone told me, oh, so you're picking Westlake in week one. Well, as Joe and Chris Dukes will affirm to you, I said, no, they would beat Westlake but then lose to Cooper in week one. And that game went down to the wire out at Shotwell Stadium. Zach Lair, the kicker for Cooper, who every Cedar Park fan will know his name because it's a sophomore last year. He kicked the game-winning 24-yarder in a 17-14 victory as time expired. And this past week, he did it again on a 34-yarder despite being iced three different times with timeouts at the end.
Wow. Yeah, I think their matchup this week against Harker Heights is interesting because if they didn't play a second half, Harker Heights is 2-0. And the thing with Harker Heights is they're a 5A school, but they really don't have 5A numbers in the program.
Well, they have
so
like
they're
the
really they don't really have depth, but their first front guys, you know, they're as good as any 5A school. I mean, that's why they had a lead against Stony Point. They had a lead against Round Rock, and then they just get tired down in the second half.
Yeah, they had the 5A quality up front, but they don't have the quantity that you need in a 5A program.
Right.
And that's something that where Cedar Park, honestly, has the numbers of a 5A program.
If you, yeah, I mean, if the UIL
did football participation,
then I think Cedar Park would be in the 5A range. Mm-hmm. It's not even a question. They would be 5A if you did it that way. I mean, I think there's more kids in the Cedar Park program than probably Westwood's program.
Yeah, I remember Coach Wood said something about that last year, that mm-hmm. even though they were the 5A school, Cedar Park had the more, number-wise, from freshman all the way to varsity level, there's more kids practicing with Cedar Park every week than Westwood.
I mean, I would say if you were to look at Cedar Park's non-district schedule at the beginning of the season, this was the game I think most of the people would say, well, Cedar Park will probably win that game, and then the three other ones will be the more difficult. So this, I think, is number four. And if Harker Heights, a 5A school that had a pretty good record last year, is your weakest one, you know that's a good non-district schedule.
And I'll put it out, and that's the reason that Cedar Park is still my pick to continue through and defend their title this year, because of that non-district schedule. I mean, you're going to get... You had Westlake, one of the best. You had one of the better teams, a team that was picked to win the 5A D2 title. You had Cooper, a very good team out in Abilene, and then if Harker Heights, a good 5A team, and then you're gonna have Westwood next week, and we'll touch on that game more next week. But I honestly think Cedar Park has, if not the toughest, one of the toughest schedules of all the schools we cover, and for non-district.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say Cedar Park's right up there with Westwood. I mean, Westwood, who plays them next week, mm-hmm. Westwood also plays Lake Travis and plays Bowie. I mean, and Austin High, you know, Austin High is 0-2, and they play Cedar Ridge this week, but Austin High is a team that once they get into district could easily sneak in there as the fourth seed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a tough non-district schedule right there.
Yeah. We talk about Cedar Park, who's playing some of the toughest schedule, but a team that I think has played kind of a weaker schedule, still 2-0, so you got to beat the team out in front of you. Vista Ridge this week goes out to Elgin, which will be by far their toughest test of the season so far.
That's a good matchup. Yeah. That's a playoff preview, right?
Yeah. No, they're in, because Elgin is in a 17-4A.
Well, yeah, but they, okay, all right, yeah, and that's, and the region. Yeah. I forget. They're 30 miles apart, but they're in completely different ways.
Exactly, yeah. So I'll be making the drive out there Friday night for that game, and that's the type of game where we're going to learn a lot more about who this Vista Ridge team really is. Mm-hmm. Vista Ridge has only trailed for 6 seconds, I think, this season. Hold on, I've got it on my paper right here. Vista Ridge has trailed for a total of 23 seconds so far this season. Against Bastrop in week one, first offensive play after the opening kickoff, J.D. Hill took a wide receiver end around 66 yards for a touchdown. Last week against LBJ, Isaiah Valera returned the opening kickoff 80 yards for touchdown. Vista Ridge hasn't played from behind yet this season. Their defense only allowed one touchdown. However, they haven't played the level of competition as some of the other teams we've talked about. So this week they go play a really good Wildcat team that has the two brothers, Terrell and Detrain. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. But the two Simmons brothers, the running back and the quarterback, who already have combined for 12 total touchdowns, 10 rushing, 1 passing, 1 kick return.
They're talented.
They're very talented.
And, you know, this is their last warm-up.
Yeah.
Because 17-4A, they move into district season next week.
Yeah. And as Rodney Vincent told me about the prayer with the Simmons brothers, says, well, we got to play assignment football on those two.
Yeah. Big time there. They're definitely two of the players that are always going to be on watch for a defense.
And you talk, I was just thinking about with the, you talk about the zone read option, the read option. Is there an easier bond between a running back and a quarterback when it's your brother, literally handing the ball off?
Yeah,
like, who's going to take the ball?
I wonder how much grief they give each other if they like fumble a snap. I Yeah, it's a pretty good dynamic there. That should be a good game, though. And you're right. I think we'll know a lot more about Vista Ridge than we will about Elgin after that game.
Yeah, I think Vista Ridge is a team where we'll learn how good that defense is. The offense is a team that really has struggled throwing the ball, but running the ball, they've just been able to pound the ball on Bastrop and LBJ, and it didn't really hurt them because they didn't have to develop a passing game. This might be the week where they have to be able to throw the ball a little bit more. And this really is the first game for Vista Ridge that will really prepare them for when they get to those 25-4 games where they're going to have to be a little bit more balanced because when they get to district play, they won't be able to just run the ball.
And then, times a game. Speaking of LBJ and District 17-4A, Connolly, they've got the Jaguars this week. Connolly trying to pick up their first win. They played Del Valle pretty close last week, 2014 loss. Connolly is one of those things where I think we'll get to know Connolly a little bit better in this game because LBJ will push him. I think LBJ is a little bit, probably one of the better teams in their district, that Austin ISD 4A district. And again, it's the last warm-up they'll have for district, so hopefully Connolly does have things figured out. I mean, looking at it, Connolly's played two pretty tough teams to open it. Three, if you count the scrimmage against Cedar Park.
Yeah.
So, and people will say, oh, Del Valle. Well, Del Valle did make the playoffs last year in a 5A district, so I wouldn't sleep on them being completely bad.
Another 17-4A team, a team that we don't cover, but playing one of the teams we cover, Leander goes to Manor this week in a game that is a... If there was ever a need for a bounce back, Leander would be in the need for a bounce back this week against a very good Manor team.
Quietly, how good is Leander's non-district schedule? Connolly playoff team, perennial playoff team, Hendrickson, and then Manor, who could be the favorite to win the district.
And then Pflugerville to...
Yeah, I mean it's Pflugerville. I mean, come on, that's a stout.
That's a pretty good non-district slate.
I mean, think about it. This is a weird year because Connolly and Pflugerville are replacing so many great players from last year. But just if you looked at that on paper, wow.
Yeah,
I mean, that's every bit as tough in most years. That's every bit as tough as Westwood and Cedar Park schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just Connolly and Pflugerville are kind of reshuffling the deck there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a game where Leander, if you ever needed a bounce back, that's it. You go from facing one, probably the best individual offensive player in the area, at Hendrickson, to another running back up there who you could argue is... you could argue a couple things around. Maybe he's the third best back in the area over at Manor. So it's definitely a big test for Leander's defense. They have to be able to stop the run better. And then the offense for them, with how things just snowballed and got off the tracks and everything against Hendrickson, you need to fix things up. You have 2 weeks to do it before district play because... And not just district play, they open with Cedar Park. So it's 2 weeks to fix everything after that.
All right, so, and that leads us to the first time we're going to do this on the podcast.
Okay.
The Stone Cold Lock wins. We'll just say for our papers, we won't bring in, when Chris Dukes and Michael Adams are here, we'll include their papers. Yeah. But you can do the leader and flag picks.
Okay.
And I'll do the Cedar Park picks. Stone Cold Locks, if you were going to pick one team from the leader covered zone to win this week.
From the leader covered zone to win this week. I think I'd definitely go with your Stony Point Tigers.
Stony Point versus Shoemaker.
Yeah.
Shoemaker lost week one. Last week they played a team from Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico. Not going to pronounce it because I can't.
Isn't that like Prepotec or something like that?
It's not that. It's in the section. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. But
fair enough.
yeah, that's at Dragon Stadium, so I imagine that's going to be one of those pretty good games. And Stony Point's playing so well right now. It's a good pick. Okay, so Stony Point Shoemakers.
That's the lock.
Stone Cold Lock.
Yeah, that's definitely the lock.
Stone Cold said so. I'm sorry, Hulkamani was running wild in the Round Rock office earlier today.
What about for the Leander School District teams? What do you think? Who's your lock this week?
My lock for God, there's a lot of good games. I mean, Rouse Hayes is a good game, but that's certainly not a lock. I'll probably go Cedar Park. There's no way they would lose two games in a row. And Harker Heights, you know, they just hired their coach in July.
Yeah.
They don't have the, I don't think they'll have the depth to keep up with
Cedar Park. It was interesting in talking to Coach Willis about that, talking to him and talking about Harker Heights, and he was telling me that Harker Heights is that team where at the end of the year, they might have won six or seven games at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But just for those who don't know, Harker Heights lost their coach. I believe he resigned June 31st.
He left to go to Navasota.
Yeah, yeah. And then they got their new coach. He was hired July 15th.
Yeah, July 15th. Yeah. And they were leading Stony Point at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the depth there yet.
Yeah, and as Cedar Park's coach Joe Willis was telling me, it's a team he sees that has the type of thing, but you can tell, and the things work, he has the athletes in place, but you can tell that they made some changes to that team with the new coaching staff. And obviously, every coaching staff brings in their new tweaks and things, but no spring ball with the new coach, which was big.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is they started off with some pretty good, prolific offenses to face against.
I'd say the Pflugerville flag coverage zone definitely has the most difficult lock picks there, because
even though
Hendrickson's playing really well right now, they're facing, it's a matchup of undefeated teams. I think the only one in the area, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, is Elgin undefeated?
Elgin is undefeated too.
Okay,
so that's 2-0 teams in that game.
And you know, Connolly and LBJ is certainly going to be a good game, and Pflugerville-Reagan is going to be a good game.
Yeah. And let's just say, just so people know, because this is San Antonio-Reagan, not
San
Austin.
San Antonio-Reagan, yes.
Not Austin-Reagan, because that would make, if it was Austin-Reagan, there would be my lock. I got to go, and I'm going to get grief for this, but I'm going to go with Hendrickson. I'm going to go with Hendrickson as my lock against.
Well, they are the ACN.
They are the top ranked team in ACN, and it's. I think Vandegrift can put up a better fight in that game than some of the past two teams have, just because. No one's sleeping on Hendrickson at all. No one was before the season, but you can imagine that early in the season, they beat Rouse 28-0. We had some questions about Rouse. We said, okay, maybe that is who Rouse is. Maybe. And then when they did the lander, there's no way anyone's sleeping on them at all. And I can imagine Vandegrift will give them a tough test in that game, and they could be in it more than the other two teams have been.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see them beating them.
Let's go through the ACN power poll this week. This will be another standard in here. You can get our poll in the Flag, the Leader, and the CPL Statesman, and every other ACN publication. Mm-hmm. It's right there. ACN Football Power Poll. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm calling it. Is that what we're calling it?
That's pretty much what we're calling it. Yeah.
I know there was a big thing. We didn't really want to put rankings on here, but it's the Power Poll.
Yeah.
Number one, Hendrickson, is the number one on the power poll right now.
Up from number two last week. Hendrickson got all five first place votes, and deservedly so, after what they did the past 2 weeks. The voting poll panel, by the way, is Joe, myself, Chris Dukes over at Bastrop, and Michael Adams over at Westlake, and then Thomas Jones, who are a former sports editor at Westlake and kind of our sports czar. So all five of us had Hendrickson at number one. Number two was Aussie Unanimous. Everyone had Cedar Park at number two.
I think, you know, they were number one, in the first 2 weeks?
Yep.
What was Westlake number one in the first bowl?
Westlake was number one. Westlake was number one preseason it was a split vote, though. I think it was three first place votes went to Westlake, two went to Cedar Park.
Yeah.
And then last week, after Cedar Park beat Westlake, of course, Cedar Park was our unanimous top team.
I think at this point it's basically whoever loses. I mean, I think Cedar Park probably has a pretty good chance at climbing back number one if Hendrickson were to lose.
Yeah.
Still, I think Cedar Park has got a difficult game next week against Lake Travis.
Well, Westwood. Against Westwood.
Against Westwood. I'm covering that game, too.
Yeah.
And then number three, we've got the Chaps, Westlake. Mm-hmm.
Who stuck around at three? We had them. They dropped from one to three in week after week one's results of Cedar Park beating Westlake and Hendrickson's impressive win against. And Westlake is a team that I saw him play against Cedar Park, and they've got the offense. I think, as Thomas told me, their defense, as Thomas confirmed to me, they still have some questions on defense to answer. Mm-hmm. They have the offense of a top ranked team, but they don't have the defense right now.
Well, you know, after week one, I said Stony Point needs to be in the top 10. Then after week two, I assumed everyone would catch on, but everybody caught on in a real big way. I was kind of surprised when I saw that they were fourth. And just to preferences, I didn't vote this week because I was out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would have put Stony Point probably in the top five also. But four was pretty impressed by that ranking. They're 2-0.
Yeah, I mean,
49 points a game they're averaging.
The Tigers are legit. I mean, it's a team that it's. I mean, I haven't seen him play it, but you've seen him play it. That's a team that...
Justin Gamble, by the end of the year, I think, will be the best receiver in the area. I mean, he lit up Harker Heights. He's an extremely talented kid. I think he's already got 22 catches in the first two games. I mean, he's going to be up there. He's only a junior also.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and their quarterbacks are playing well. I think we'll know quite a bit about them this week. And against Shoemaker, the team that they beat last second field goal last year.
Mm-hmm.
First home game for Stony Point, too. So,
yeah.
Be interesting. But yeah, they're fourth.
Number five, we have Lake Travis, which I know one of adamant in his vote. He told me no way Lake Travis is better than Stony Point, but the rest of the panel disagreed.
Well, no way Stony Point's better than Lake Travis.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
That's what Mr. Michael Adams said. Lake Travis, who a team we touched on earlier, they're playing Westwood this week.
Does Canyon really call their stadium the Blood Rug?
No, that's my nickname, I guess.
Okay.
If you look at Canyon has red turf. If anyone doesn't know, so I called it the Blood Rug.
Yeah. Well. So, I mean, they're fifth now. I think if they pick up a win this week against Westwood, and they... who do they have the week after?
I don't know. Like, Travis has the week after.
Probably somebody really good. Well, it would be A&M Consolidated, wouldn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, that's who they played.
Because Lake Travis, by the way, moved up from 6-5. Stony Point made the biggest jump from 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
After Lake Travis, we have Vista Ridge jumping from 10-6. A team that
I would have probably flipped Vista Ridge and Vandegrift. Vandegrift's seventh.
I will go on the record and say I voted Vandegrift above Vista Ridge.
I mean, I think both teams are undefeated.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, Vandegrift has a win over a 5A school, shutting out. Yeah.
Two 5A schools. I actually had Vandegrift above Vista Ridge, but the rest of the voting panel had Vista Ridge above the Vipers.
And of course, to preface that, I would have put probably Round Rock and Westwood above both of those teams, even though they got losses. I don't know how you punish Round Rock for losing at Temple in week one in overtime. What, double overtime, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, they're eighth.
Mm-hmm. Round Rock's eighth, and then Westwood's nine. They dropped from 5-9 with that loss, which I don't think is as much of a indictment against Westwood as just a combination.
Say this, Westwood beats Lake Travis, they're probably going to get in the top five in my vote if they beat Lake Travis.
I would definitely be deserved. And then 10, the team with the biggest drop of the week.
Almost surprised that they stayed in. But then again, you know, with Cedar Ridge losing, I mean...
In my individual ballot, as the person who covers Leander, I did not have them in the top 10.
Really?
I did
so
not.
So you're going to get grief for that.
I'm going to get grief for that. And I'm going to say it now. I actually had Rouse at 10th.
Yeah, but I guess I see it.
I had Rouse at 10th because they beat Cedar Ridge, our former 9th-ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a better showing. And it's the tricky math to play, but that's the only way we can look at it right now,
yeah.
Is they had a better showing against Hendrickson. So I actually had Rouse as my 10th-ranked team. The other teams to receive votes, other than these 10, Cedar Ridge received one vote, Rouse received one vote, and Bastrop received one vote.
Yes, Bastrop. Well, I actually was talking to Chris Dukes earlier today, and we both said, you know, that it's going to get might get a little heated around the Flag and Bastrop offices because we think Connolly and Bastrop will be battling it out for a playoff spot.
And so. Chris Dukes actually didn't vote for Bastrop.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, he's going to get grief for that. Yeah, I'd be voting. I think I've voted all my teams in at least some point. I think prediction. What team that's not in this top 10 is going to be in this top 10? Well, I think we'll do this every week.
Yeah.
I'll ask you.
Okay.
What team that's not in the top 10 now is going to be in the top 10 by the end of the year?
By the end of the year.
By the end of the year.
Okay.
Well, I get. We'll do by the end of the year, and then I guess every week we'll do what team's going to be in the top 10 next week that's not in.
Okay.
By the end of the year, what team's going to be in? We'll say what team's going to be in the top 5 by the end of the year.
That's going to be in the top 5.
Yeah, maybe they're ranked now. What team's going to be in the top 5 that's not in the top 5?
I think Westwood will be in the top 5.
Me too.
By the end of the year, I think that's a legit possibility. I think next week there's a possibility that you could see Rouse in the top 10 next week with a good showing against Hayes.
Pflugerville will be in the top 10 if they beat Austin or if they beat Reagan. They'll be in the top 8 if they beat Reagan.
If they beat Reagan, that'll be a big win for the. I mean, Pflugerville's 1-1, correct?
Yes.
So yeah, I definitely could see Pflugerville in the top 8. I definitely agree with that. I think. A team that'll... I said it already, so I might as well just continue to throw dirt on myself with Vandegrift fans. I see Vandegrift dropping from their 7th spot a little bit since I predicted they were going to lose to Hendrickson this week, but I don't see them... If they lose to Hendrickson and play well, I don't see them being punished too much, but I can still see them dropping.
My team that's not ranked now that's going to be ranked next week is going to be Cedar Ridge. I think they bounce back this week and... I think they'll get in the top 10. It's their homecoming game.
Mm-hmm.
Pflugerville, like I said, if they beat Reagan, I think they'll get in the rankings. I mean, there's certainly no reason to... I mean, if they'll beat Reagan, they'll probably, I think, out of all these, have the best win over a San Antonio team. I mean, the only other team that's played San Antonio so far is Lake Travis, and they have a loss to Converse.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan, I think, is... I think they're 1-1, and... no, they're 2-0. They're 2-0 so far this season. So, yeah, I think that'd be a big, big win for them.
Yeah. Last thing before we move on, before we let you go and go enjoy your Friday night football.
Or Thursday night football. It is Thursday. Yeah, I don't think this is going to get up to this afternoon, though.
We'll see.
We'll see.
either way, last thing we go, just a quick volleyball. We touched on our football poll. We also have our... Suburban 6 volleyball poll. We'll just run through that 6 real quick.
The Suburban 6 volleyball poll is by our super pollster, Butch Hart, who knows more about volleyball than anybody at ACN combined, probably.
Yeah.
And the only person I think can even come close to Butch's volleyball knowledge is probably Thomas Jones, just because Thomas has probably covered more volleyball than us, considering
possibly.
He covered Westlake for so many years.
So the Suburban 6 volleyball poll, number one, Cedar Park's number one, Westlake number two, Round Rock number three, Hendrickson number four, Leander number five, and Vista Ridge number six.
Probably the team that might get bumped back up to number one pretty soon is going to be Round Rock. I don't know how they lost to Vista Ridge the week before after the week. I mean, Vista Ridge is good, but Round Rock was tearing through teams. Well, we'll just have to see.
That Round Rock game for Vista Ridge was the first game back for Coach Lamb.
Yeah, well, that's...
So there's the emotional return if you're looking for...
we'll have to see there. I definitely can't argue that ranking, though, 26-3 for Cedar Park.
Oh, yeah.
Hendrickson's a team that's going to be on the rise. They're really good. They took apart Connolly the other night in the game I watched.
Yeah. One thing to tease to next week, Joe, just because I know Anthony Wood has made a point to me about it before. Next week, we'll talk about who do you schedule for your homecoming and why.
Well, you know, I like it. I think he's very excited.
Save your thoughts for more next week. We'll talk about that next week.
You know what we can do? We could take the podcast on the road again next week.
Bring Anthony Wood on the podcast?
I'm sure he'd be interested, maybe.
We could do that. We could bring in our first head coach guest. We'll have Joe look into that.
I was going to say we could do it at Kelly Reese. I know somebody who probably let us in there, but yeah, that's yeah. who to schedule in homecoming and why. I think that I think it's great. I mean, why schedule somebody that you're just going? I mean, Pflugerville's doing the same thing. I mean, Pflugerville scheduled Reagan for homecoming this week. That's a really good team. Schedule a good game. I like that trend.
Yeah.
Our homecomings when I was in high school, we were undefeated. The Anderson Redskins in Cincinnati during the years of 2001 to 2003 when I was on varsity, we were undefeated. I don't think we ever, in my entire time in that school district, I don't think Anderson ever lost homecoming.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening in for another week, and enjoy the games.
Be safe out there.